Entering the second hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, streaming online as well at WEOL.com. And with that AM 930 WEOL mobile app, make sure to use that to your advantage if you're not making that trip down to the state semifinal on Thursday as the Elyria Catholic girls take on Versailles. Or maybe you want to listen to Lorraine taking on St. Ed's on Wednesday evening and you can't make it down to Akron's Jar Arena. You can use that mobile app, and you can also listen online as well. Well, a lot of interesting things going on in the world of entertainment, and who better to discuss those items with than our good buddy, our good pal, our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my good man?
Fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing well, partner. Maybe not as well as Black Panther that just continues to crush every single week at the box office, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. But
well, real quick, you know, they did say that, you know, a superhero movie starring a black or an African American person would never do well, and they might be right. Right, it's not doing too good.
Yeah, it's only pulling in somewhere in the area of $1 billion since it opened about a month ago.
It's nothing, right? $1 billion is nothing.
Well, to guys like you and me who have that in the bank, right? I guess it's nothing, but, you know, to the average person, maybe it adds up after a while, but...
Yeah, well, I know you said we'll get to it, but that's the crazy thing, right, is that you have this movie, it was said people aren't going to the movies anymore, no one's going to see African-American-centric movie, especially a big-budget superhero movie, and they've been blowing the doors off everything. People are going to the movies again. People are seeing this movie. It's really come at like the perfect time to show that, hey, you know, everything we thought about Hollywood might be a bunch of crap, and that people like, and with Wonder Woman 2, minorities, people of color, women can lead, can direct, can, you know, bring people to the box office, especially at a time when the box office has been really slow lately. Here we are, $1 billion. That's what else more can you say?
Sure, and I think people were definitely looking for an excuse to get back there. And along those same lines, look, I mean, I know a lot of people swear off going to the theater anymore. They don't think it's the same, and they're right, it's not. But I think it's changed for all the right reasons. You can go to a movie theater now, and you can actually... You can have an alcoholic beverage. It's pretty nice. You can actually sit in a recliner. It's actually pretty fun stuff. They've done the best they possibly can to enhance the experience. And while everybody's just kind of playing for second at the box office right now behind Black Panther, what kind of buzz are you hearing about A Wrinkle in Time? That's obviously a pretty impressive cast. It's doing some pretty good things, all things considered, who it's trailing.
Yeah, it was one of those. I know people were like really excited for it. And I was, you know, the buzzkill being like, this trailer really doesn't look good. I know we want, like, Ava DuVernay is a great talent, and I know that we're, like, really high on her and that the cast is good. But to me, like, Mindy Kaling, Galifianakis just looked kind of, like, the costumes kind of looked stupid. Everyone just didn't look right. It just looked like they were trying to do too much. But, you know, and out comes the reviews, and... It's not doing great. I think it's the critics are pretty middling. There's some people that really like it, but it kind of is exactly what I thought it would be. Something like, you know, B-level fantasy that's not going to trump a Black Panther or something like that. It's not going to do great. And it just, I don't know, it's got great talent involved. It just did not look good, did not look interesting, and... From what I'm hearing, that's what the reviews are saying. And I have not seen it yet, and I really don't plan on to. I'll probably catch it on the videos, but the trailers didn't excite me, and there's a reason why.
Well, speaking of other movies that have actually gotten a little bit of criticism, and I think this one I think is going to be split all the way across the board. It's a movie that we've heard about for quite a while now, Ready Player One. And for those that haven't seen some of the previews, I think the effects look kind of cool in this. And again, there's a little bit of star power involved here as well. What are some things that you're hearing about Ready Player One?
I mean, it's getting, like, its original reviews are pretty good. They're like, above average. It's got a pretty good Rotten Tomatoes score right now, and obviously that'll change because it hasn't actually come out in theaters yet, so the critics will change. But that's one that, upon reviews or upon trailers, I was a little more, I thought it was a little better than Wrinkle in Time, but still kind of skeptical. The fact that I was like, you know, it's still Steven Spielberg, even though I wasn't a big fan of The Post when he does stuff like this and messes with, like, the sci-fi format. Like, you know, you get great movies like Minority Report and stuff like that. So I was holding out a lot of hope for this. And right now the reviews are pretty decent. And I was afraid it was going to get muddled down with a lot of, you know, the fantasy elements, the creatures, or the IP from other things. Like, you had, what, Iron Giant in the trailer. You have, I don't know, so many other movies being a part of this. Even mentioned, and it's crazy. I thought it might get muddled down or be like, oh my god, look at that, not really paying as much attention to the story. But as far as what I've heard, it doesn't seem depth is an issue, and it actually handles it pretty well. And if anyone's going to handle all of that, it's going to be someone like Spielberg. So I think the movie was in the right hands. It's not, especially from what we've seen of Spielberg of late, it's nothing that's going to like reinvent cinema. But it's going to be, especially coming in March, we don't have a lot of good movies coming out. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be fun. And from what I've heard, that's exactly what it is.
Well, I think that's exactly what they're going for. No question about that. Well, there was another movie that kind of got lost in the mix this weekend. I had actually heard that this was a lot funnier than people said that they thought it was going to be. And the story was actually half decent also. The movie Gringo, it looks interesting to me. The previews looked okay, nothing that knocked my socks off. You think this is a movie worth seeing, or you think this is just one of those movies that's just going to continue to get lost in the mix?
I definitely think it's one of those movies that you'll see, you know, on video when it comes out. It seems fun. Like, it's another one of those, like, I don't know, caper kind of cult movies that might get picked up eventually. The reviews are kind of middling right now, but there's a lot of movies like that. I mean, take Lebowski for one. I'm not comparing Gringo to Lebowski, first of all, but I'm just saying, when Lebowski first came out, the reviews weren't great. It took a while to really build up its fan base, and there's a lot of movies like that. And that's why when movies like Gringo or like that, that are kind of a little cult-like, have a little fun with the medium, kind of funny caper movies, you know, it's hard to really, like, the first wave of reviews and, like, what people say, it's hard to take those, you know, face value. You kind of want to wait and see what happens. Like, if it gets picked up later on or, like, how it does on video. So that's one of those movies that I will withhold judgment. I do want to see it. I'm not rushing out to the theater to see it, but I will definitely check it out. And I've heard, like, okay things so far.
It's got a pretty decent cast. I mean, based on that alone, kind of it draws me in at least. Jason Bateman, I'm a big fan of his. Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I like the cast. And it's got Joel Edgerton's brother directs it. So he's in it. And they're like, you know, it looks like a fun, like a bunch of friends get together. Let's make a movie. And I always enjoy those because it seems like the cast is actually having fun instead of when you see like these big budget ones. So that alone is exciting. Like, I think we've talked about Cedar Rapids in the past. John C. Reilly is always my go-to because he looks like he's having the most fun in that role. And when you have, like, an actor who's just having a good time, like, I remember that there's a really bad movie called Las Vegas. It's awful, right? With, like, Michael Douglas, De Niro, and Morgan Freeman. But Morgan Freeman looks like he's just having so much fun in this role, like, not caring about anything, that it's kind of charming. And I feel like that might be part of what Gringo adds to it.
Al Harris, our Hollywood Insider, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Nice drop in there with Cedar Rapids, John C. Reilly's finest role. Look, he was great as Dale Dobek. Yeah. He was great as Cal Naughton Jr. He was great in that last Kong movie. But I far and away believe his greatest role was the Deansy in Cedar Rapids. Have you seen that movie?
I've seen it. But speaking of John C. Reilly, Gangs of New York came on last night. And I was like, oh, I love this movie. I forgot John C. Reilly was in that. He's in everything. Yes. He's in one
everything.
Of those guys.
Well, and there's actually a funny story. I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. The Wire book has come out, and they talked about how John C. Reilly was supposed to be the lead of that, which would have been very entertaining. And that's one of those things that, like, I don't know if the show would have been the same with John C. Reilly. It would have been a lot different, but he's a guy that can pretty much do anything, and people love working with him, so he keeps being employed. And, Bull, I know we weren't talking about this, but I do want to bring this up because we talk a lot about comedies, and there's not a good comedy. Game Night was really good, and there was one coming out that actually just premiered at South By, and it looked the trailers looked awful. It was that movie Blockers?
Yeah, with John Cena. Yeah.
But the reviews out of South By are fantastic. Like, it's supposed to be very, very funny, even though I thought the trailer looked very stupid. Didn't think it would be good at all. I was definitely planning on passing on it, but all the reviews of South By have been great. So we might have a good comedy. This might be a good year for comedy with, Game Night? If this is as good as being advertised, then we also have possibly that Sherlock Holmes, John C. Reilly again, Will Ferrell movie coming out. This hopefully, because last year was not a good year for comedy, hopefully this year changes it up.
See, when you end with a slam dunk like the Sherlock Holmes movie with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly coming out at the end of the year, it's already going to be a great year for comedies, regardless of what we get between now and then. That movie ending the year is going to be sensational. You brought that movie up, Blockers, and that actually just popped up on our television screen here in the studio also. So very, very good timing on your behalf, my friend. Great.
There you go. And
I'm anxious to see that. You told me about Game Night. I'm anxious to see that one as well. I think that's got a lot of really good potential also.
Yeah.
Speaking of potential, I'm a huge fan of Tracy Morgan. I think he's hysterical. He's got that show. I think it's on TBS with he and Cedric the Entertainer called OG. What kinds of reviews is this getting?
Well, it's called The Last OG.
Last OG, that's right.
And it's getting really strong reviews. They got lucky, too, by timing, because this was cast with Tiffany Haddish, plays the girl, who is blowing up hugely now from her performance in Girls Trip. And her presenting in Academy Awards. There's rumors she might even host at some point. So she's starting to blow up, and they had already cast her before Girls Trip came out, before any of this. So they're being able to ride high with her, Tracy Morgan's return, like you said, Cedric the Entertainer. So there's a lot of good PR going for it. And so that was definitely one of my most anticipated shows coming into this year. And it's so far proving to be just a fun, interesting show. And it's good to see Tracy Morgan, first of all, back when it looked like he may have, you know, never be able to perform again, let alone, I mean, he was on his deathbed, they were thinking, you know. And the fact that he's come back, this is supposed to be great. I'm very happy for him. And the fact that he's actually carrying a show because, you know, Saturday Night Live was not his. He was in supporting, obviously. And then with 30 Rock, even though he was fantastic, it was Tina Fey's show. And the fact that we can see him actually carry a show after everything that happened to him, I think is fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I immediately think of Tracy Morgan when you mentioned his SNL days. I thought about Brian Fallon's Safari Planet. Oh, my God, man. That's one of the best gems hidden in that era of SNL, man. That's one of the absolute greatest. When he did Brian Fallon's Safari Planet, I don't think I got through a single episode without laughing hysterically. Sure. It's just fantastic stuff.
See, I know more for the 30 Rock. To me, that's where he blows up. He's greatest. Yeah. Tracy Jordan, of course, in that show.
And that's the thing. Like, he was one of those guys. There's a couple good characters he had in SNL, but I kind of just blew him off as, like, this goofy guy. But to me, he'll always be Tracy Jordan, which I don't know how accurate or how close it is to his actual life, but I just assume they're the exact same person. It just makes me feel better. So I like to just think that he really is Tracy Jordan in real life. So I think that's by far his best role and what I will always refer to him as.
I got to ask you, speaking of Saturday Night Live cast members, every time I see another cool show's coming out on HBO, I just get the itch and I think, man, I need to subscribe again, but I keep talking myself out of it. How about this new one with Bill Hader called Barry, where he's a hitman? What are you hearing about this?
I'm hearing it's delightful. I'm hearing it's fun. It's nothing like, again, we've talked about this a lot, nothing changing the industry, nothing really, you know, new and big, but something that, you know, hits all the right notes. Bill Hader, first of all, is very charming. Bill Hader, in the right role, is always entertaining, and this seems to be right in his wheelhouse. Plus, you have Henry Winkler. It just seems like a lot of fun. For those that don't know, it's basically about a hitman who has to kill this guy who's taking an acting class. So he takes the acting class to get closer to him and falls in love with acting, but also is a hitman. So it's like, you know, kind of feels a little like Gross Point Blankish and stuff like hitman comedies from like, you know, the 90s and the 2000s. There's a couple of them. So, but it seems like a lot of fun. And anytime you have actors like Bill Hader and Henry Winkler and Stephen Root just having a good time, it's going to be entertaining. Whether it's a great show or not, it'll at least be worth watching. And so that's what I'm hearing from that show.
It'll give you a few laughs, if nothing else.
Exactly.
All right, my man. Well, before we cut you loose, we've got to get your picks to click for this week.
Again, it keeps happening. Nothing like super exciting. But tonight is the premiere of, I think it's called Rise. It's a kind of a high school musical type thing, but what separates this from like the Glees and the other stuff that have done this is Jason Tatum's, who created or was the showrunner of both Friday Night Lights and Parenthood, who's very good at, you know, dealing with family drama, family relationships, making it believable and making it interesting to watch. And that's what I'm hearing from that show. Josh Radner from How I Met Your Mother is the star of it, who I've always liked. So from what I've heard, it's, you know, a very solid show worth checking out, and that premieres tonight, and I'll be checking that out as well.
Very good stuff, Al. We appreciate it as always, my friend, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds great. Talk to you guys then.